Good morning. My name is Rich Kopanky, and I'm a ministry partner and an elder here at Promontory, and I'm excited because today we're going to continue a study that we started a couple weeks ago. If you've been here, you know about it. It's the book of Ephesians, Paul's writing to his friends, and he's telling us some pretty awesome stuff, both about God as well as about ourselves. But before we get into the letter and the next chapter, chapter 3, before we do that, I got a question for you. How many of you guys find it really hard to keep a secret? Okay, anyone gonna confess that? Or maybe you guys have no problems. Okay, I do. Yesterday was my wife Inga's birthday. This past week, I bought a set of books that I knew she really, really wanted. I meant to give them to her on her birthday, make it her birthday gift. But I couldn't wait that long. Honestly, I just couldn't. So I thought, well, I can give it to her on Valentine's Day. That's a day earlier, at least. And it could be her Valentine's Day gift. But that would be still another day. So finally, I just kind of put them there right next to her laptop. And it didn't take long for her to find them. And she loved them. I couldn't keep the secret long enough. Okay? This morning, we're going to explore a secret. But this secret is one that God managed to keep hidden since the beginning of time. Paul calls this secret a mystery. Let's stand if we are able to, and we're going to honor God's word as we stand, and we're going to read from Ephesians 3. And as Paul writes there, I invite you to try to sense, to discover, to look at how excited Paul gets as he tells us about this secret, okay? And as he tells us how God chose him to use him to tell others about that secret. And then as we see how that the impact that that secret has on our lives today. Okay, so kind of look for that as we read here. Paul writes, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be known, now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Father, open our eyes to what you have to say to us here. And Lord, as we leave here today, may we leave here different because of what your Holy Spirit has told us and how we've responded. Thank you, Father. Amen. Please be seated. If you've been with us these past weeks as we've started going through the book of Ephesians, you know that we've been working our way through this letter, and maybe you've just noticed a progression of thought for Paul as he writes this letter out. I mean, in chapter 1, when we started out, we found ourselves in the middle of a really huge celebration of all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Paul starts out in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And then he goes on to tell us how God has chosen us, how he's adopted us as his kids, how in Christ we have forgiveness as God's grace is lavished on us. Because of Jesus, we have a rich inheritance, an unshakable hope. We have access to the incomparably great power that is at work within us, God's power. I mean, guys, if all that didn't get your heart pumping in celebration, then you might just want to check your pulse. Okay? You want to make sure you're still amongst the living. Because what Paul has told us here is incredible. And then Paul ended chapter 1 by praying. I mean, he asked God for his friends, that they would know these things that he's just talked about personally, that they would experience God working in their lives. Well, next we got to chapter 2. And Paul continues developing this great theme of the purposes of God in Christ and how they affect us today. He takes us back to our sorry condition in our life before Christ. I mean, he tells us in the first verses that you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were by nature deserving of wrath. I mean, think about that. In our life BC, before Christ, we were dead, disobedient, depraved, doomed. I'm not a very happy picture. You don't want to put that one on a Valentine's Day card. But then Paul shows us that what we couldn't do, God did for us. I mean, the coolest verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. I mean, do you remember that day? If you've stepped across that line of faith personally, do you remember how the trajectory of your life changed on that day forever? You put your trust in Jesus to forgive your sins, to give you eternal life. But you know, God didn't stop with that. Christianity doesn't end with our salvation. There's more to our faith than just our sins being forgiven and then waiting around until we go to heaven. In verse 10, Paul told us, we are his workmanship, God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are here for others. I mean, God's purpose for our lives extends beyond just ourselves. In fact, the second half of chapter 2 shows us this as Paul marvels in the fact that through Christ, Jew and Gentile could be reconciled. If you were here, you know the story of how these guys were mortal enemies against each other. And Paul tells us back in chapter 2 how they can find peace, how they both could become members of God's household, brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, we're going to talk about that more in several minutes, so let's go on. Because now Paul gets to chapter 3, and that's where we're at today. And as he does so, he begins chapter 3 with, I believe, the intention of praying for his friends. But then, well, he just kind of gets carried away with the wonder, the mystery of Christ. And he starts to say one thing and then gets excited and diverted to something else before he finally comes back to the first. We saw there, he begins, for this reason. And I believe he probably was going to keep going, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. But this is where he gets sidetracked. Maybe here's the metallic clink of the chains that kept him attached to a Roman prison guard, reminding him of where he was and who he was. And so instead he writes, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. I mean, don't worry, Paul's still going to get back to praying for his friends in Ephesus. In verse 14, he starts all over again, and this time he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, and then he continues to pray for his friends. We're going to look at those verses next week. But for today, let's follow Paul's digression. And as we do, we're going to discover two truths that can shape our lives and our eternity and affect everybody that's around us. The first of those truths is that the gospel is for all people. The reality of God's love, his forgiveness, his new life, it's for everybody. And the second thing that we're going to look at today is that we have the privilege to share the good news with others. It's not like birthday presents or Valentine's Day gifts that we have to keep secret. We're allowed to tell others about this. Well, let's see how Paul develops that, okay? Verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. Now, As Paul writes these words, he is literally a prisoner. He's in Rome. He's awaiting a trial before the Emperor Nero. But first, the Jewish prosecutors from Jerusalem have to arrive with their malicious, trumped-up charges against Paul. Paul is correct as he describes himself as a prisoner. And he's also correct when he says he's a prisoner on behalf of the Gentiles. You see, several years earlier, Paul's presence in Jerusalem had caused a riot amongst the Jews because of his teaching that God accepted everyone who came to him in repentance. I mean, to Jews, that was blasphemy. Everyone would have included the Gentiles. In other words, every person in this world who is not a Jew, including you and me. And Orthodox Jews, they looked at Gentiles with contempt. I mean, they were lower than dogs. Sorry if you get a little puppy at home. We're not talking about him. I mean, Orthodox Jews looked at them and to them, Gentiles were suitable only to serve as fuel for the fires of hell. I mean, with that kind of an attitude, no wonder the Jews were enraged that Paul would teach that God would accept Gentiles, that God would love them, that God would forgive them. And so in their minds, Paul had to die. That riot, several years earlier, set off a series of events that led to Paul being sent off to Rome in chains to answer to the emperor regarding his beliefs. And these Jewish prosecutors being sent to ensure that Nero's verdict would be death for Paul. Guys, I don't know about you, but if I were in Paul's sandals, I might just be a little concerned at this point. I mean, his life is literally hanging in the balance. But this is where we kind of get to see how Paul thinks. And this is where we can learn something from that. I mean, Paul is looking at this whole situation from a different perspective than probably most of us would. I mean, did you catch that as he describes himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus? You see, at the time of his salvation, Jesus commissioned Paul to bring the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. And now, since he was being in prison because he had obeyed this divine command, this must mean that he's there, that this situation is by the will of God, that God's allowing it. I mean, he sees himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So why does he have to worry about the outcome? He's trusting Jesus knows best. And I imagine probably some of us would wrestle with that way of looking at things. I mean, it is foreign to how we tend to look at life, how society looks at life. I mean, how we see ourselves as the master of our own fate. But do you realize that as Christians, we all have a double life and a double address? I mean, we're in this world. Can't avoid it. We go to work, we raise our family, we have an address where we live. Our identity is linked probably to the things that we do, the positions we hold, whether it's being a boss, a teacher, a parent, a mechanic, whatever. That's our life here on earth. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, our real citizenship is in heaven. That's where our permanent address is. Our identity, our perspective, are shaped by something outside this world. We are children of the King. And as such, we serve him. Our lives are in his control. Paul sees himself here as part of something bigger than just being Nero's prisoner. He is part of God's divine plan. Jesus, not Nero, is calling the shots. Okay, let's take a pause for a second. Let's get real about this. I mean, here's what it boils down to. When you look in the mirror, okay, when you look at the mirror and see that smiley face looking back at you, what part of your identity do you see most? I mean, are you just looking at a citizen of this earth, plodding through your 9-to-5 grind, trying to have a bit of fun along the way? Or first and foremost, do you see looking back at you from that mirror a follower and a servant of Jesus? That he's the one in control. He's the person you look to for direction. That living for him and making the eternal difference, that's what matters to you more than anything else. You know, Paul's answer to that question profoundly affected how he viewed his circumstances and how he responded to this situation. And the way we view ourselves will have the same effect on us. Back to verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. I mean, it's as if Paul's mind now goes back over the years to the day that Christ called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles and what that meant in his life. And let me tell you, it meant a lot of hardship. I mean, just listen to how Paul describes that to his friends in Corinth. I mean, to me, it sounds like the script of an action movie starring Tom Cruise or Schwarzenegger. I mean, in 2 Corinthians, he says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. No drugs. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Guys, who in their right mind would sign up for that kind of a job? But here, Paul describes that experience as the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. In other words, he sees his missionary calling as an expression of God's undeserved favor toward him, a tremendous privilege that God is giving him, a privilege both for him as he trudges all over the ancient Roman world, bringing the gospel to those who had never heard of Jesus before, but a privilege as well for the believers at Ephesus, whose lives and eternities had been impacted by Paul's life-changing message. And guys, I got to tell you, from my experience, Paul is nailing this one right on the head. It is a huge privilege, a gracious gift, to be able to use our lives to serve God and to share the gospel with others. And then to see people respond to the Holy Spirit's work in their hearts. Don't ever think that you can't make a difference, an eternal difference with your life. As you live your life in faith, as you share your faith, people around you will experience hope. They will experience new life. But then don't be surprised. Because as you do that, you probably will experience resistance. Some people are going to wonder, where are you getting this stuff? What are you saying? Some people aren't going to appreciate a message that says God loves you, but also God expects something from you. It happened to Paul. Remember, that's why he's a prisoner. Jews couldn't believe what he was saying about the Gentiles. I mean, we are the Jews. We are God's chosen people. We are the offspring of Abraham. We have been given the promises of God's blessing. How dare this Paul guy challenge our exclusive relationship to the Almighty, saying that Gentiles can have this as well. And so now Paul explains. He tells them where he got this idea that Jews and Gentiles could be one in Christ. As he tells them in verse 3, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Guys, for thousands of years, there was a secret in the heart of God. It was hinted at in the Old Testament, but it was largely hidden from the world, the religious priests, the patriarchs, the prophets, even from the angels, until the time came for it to be revealed by God's Spirit to the apostles and prophets, to those who spoke on God's behalf to the world. This secret was that there was going to be a new creation, a living temple, a spiritual body through which God was going to carry the message of salvation to the ends of the world. And this new creation was going to be called the church. it would be comprised of both Jews and Gentiles together. Look at verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Guys, back then, no one ever dreamed that God's love would be for all people, that Jew and Gentile could share the same inheritance in the heavenly riches of Christ, that they could be members of the same body. The Greek word there is never before seen in Greek literature. I mean, it appears that this is a word that Paul invented in order to express this amazing truth of what God had done and bringing these enemies together. And now, as both Jew and Gentile turn to Christ in repentance, they all become partakers of the same promise in Christ Jesus. They share together the assurance of salvation and new life. And all of this is a promise which finds its reality in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the story of a blood-stained cross where God himself shed his blood for us, taking on himself our guilt so that we could be forgiven. The gospel is the story of an empty grave, of Jesus walking out of that tomb, proving once and for all that he indeed was God and that even death could not hold him down. Guys, without this gospel message that God loves us this much, without that, we've got nothing. Nada, zip, zero. I mean, without Jesus, our hope is vain. It's just wishful thinking. It is this gospel which tells us that the gospel is for all people. So let's get personal for a moment. Have you responded to the gospel, to God's love in your life? Have you explored what this book has to say? Have you reached a point in your spiritual journey where you need to make a decision about what you're going to do with Jesus? You know, every person on their spiritual journey will ultimately find themselves at this point. Am I going to trust in what Jesus has done for me on the cross? Am I going to put my faith in him to forgive my sins and give me a new life? Am I going to choose to live my life for him as I grow in my faith? The gospel is for all people. But we need to decide what we're going to do with it. And as we make that decision, here's something really cool. As we make that decision to live for Christ, an amazing door of opportunity opens up for us. And that's the fact that we have the privilege then to share the good news with others. I mean, the most profound, the most life-changing news this world has ever known is ours to tell our friends, our family, our neighbors, our world. This is our privilege. Listen to how Paul talks about this in verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. I mean, this guy is amazed at the incredible honor that God has given him. In his eyes, telling people about Jesus, bringing Christ's love to their lives was not a chore. It wasn't, I guess I've got to do it. Somebody has to tell them. I mean, to Paul, it was a gift. And the fact that God had called him to bring the gospel to those who had no clue who Jesus was, that in itself was practically a miracle, considering where Paul came from. I mean, we just heard him admit, I am the very least of all the saints. Let me tell you, this is no fake humility. When Jesus first met Paul on the road to Damascus, Paul was heading to Damascus in order to persecute Christians and throw them in the slammer. As a devout Jew, Paul's hatred for Christ followers, it knew no bounds. I mean, Paul realizes his own utter inadequacy to fulfill God's purpose in reaching the Gentiles, and yet God chose him. And here we are, 2,000 years later. And God chooses people today as well, including you and me, for that very same purpose. God chooses us to reveal God's plan of salvation to those around us. And even, Paul says, to those beyond us. Look at verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold, I mean, this is an awesome word. It's used in classical Greek to speak of something of intricate beauty, of endless variety. So that through the church, the manifold, the beautiful, the intricate wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. You know, the first time I read those lines, I kind of like, huh? What does that mean, rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? How do I tell them anything? But then I saw it in 1 Peter 1, an interesting sentence. The Apostle Peter tells us that even angels long to look into these things. They're curious to see how God is going to bring about the salvation in the hearts of men and women. And we, God's people here on earth, the church, get to be part of this as we live our lives for Christ and proclaim his love to others. In fact, Paul tells us in verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, think of it, behind all the events that go on in history, there is an eternal divine purpose being worked out. God didn't just start this world however many millennia ago and then take a snooze. He is actively involved in carrying out his eternal purposes through Christ. And Jesus is working this out through his church. Guys, that's you and me. This is where we become part of this incredible privilege. And part of that privilege is that we don't have to go out there and do it alone. We have divine help. Look at the next verse, 12. In whom, that's Jesus he's talking about, in Jesus we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. I mean, it's here that Paul is shifting from the big cosmic view of God's divine purpose to our part in it. And the significance, the practical significance this has for each believer. We, through our faith in Christ, we have boldness and confident access to this mighty God whose purposes embrace both heaven and earth, eternity and time. We can come to him. We can come to him for strength, for wisdom, for help. I mean, God goes with us as we share his love with others. His Holy Spirit is the one who brings conviction into people's hearts and faith to believe. We have the privilege to share the good news with others. And guys, as we do that, Paul has one more thing to tell us today. He tells us through his own example, do it with love. You know, as he closes off this section in verse 13, I encourage you to see if you can see and discern what is going on in his heart. As he writes in verse 13, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering, which is your glory. You know, we've seen that because Paul was given the privilege to preach to the Gentiles, because he advocated for the equality of Gentiles with Jews, that's why he's now sitting there bound in chains awaiting a trial. But that's not what he focuses on here. As he closes off this section of his letter, it's his love for these people that comes through loud and clear. He's not complaining. He's not even apparently worried about the outcome. Rather, he's concerned about his friends. His heart is breaking for them. He doesn't want them to become discouraged because of his suffering. He knows that it's difficult for them to see their friend and the champion of the Gentiles in bondage. And so he comforts them. He reminds them that the personal sacrifice that he made is for their glory. It opened the door for them to hear and respond to the gospel. It provided for his friends the freedom and confidence, even the boldness to know their Heavenly Father and to approach him in faith. Guys, can you hear Paul's love? Can you hear his heart speaking here? So again, let's get personal. Do people around you know that you love them with a love that comes from God? Can they hear compassion in your voice? Can they see love in your actions? Will they find hope in what you say? I mean, let's wrap all this up, okay? We've seen that the gospel is for all people. Every one of us is going to need to make a decision about what we do with Jesus. Have you made that decision? Have you responded to Christ with faith and repentance? We've seen that we have the privilege to share the good news with others. I mean, who has God put on your heart that you should pray for? Who has God put in your heart that you have such a burden that they discover Christ and come to a saving relationship with Jesus? Are you praying for that person? Are you praying that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes to the truth about Jesus, would bring conviction into their heart so they could respond? And we've seen that as we do this, we need to do it with love. We're not here to condemn. We're not here to argue people into the kingdom. God has placed us where we're at in our work, in our school, in our neighborhood. He's placed us there to love those around us and to speak hope into their lives. So, what will we do with this? How is God's Spirit nudging you this morning? What's He showing you about what's happening in your life, maybe about your attitudes, about where you're at with Jesus? And how are you going to respond to Him this morning? Let's talk to God, okay? Father, here we are. I thank You for Paul 2,000 years ago being used by You. And that's history. It's great history. It's set up where we're at today, but it's history. We're living in today. And Father, may we respond to You. May we respond in faith, in confidence, in repentance. May our lives be right with You, and as a result, may we share what You have done in our lives with those around us, and may we do it with love. Lord, show us how to do that. We invite You to work in us and through us today. And again, we thank You so much for the privilege to know You and to serve You. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.